This is Living Real Radio, real issues in real time with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, and Julianne Staley. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.
Well, good morning and welcome to Living Real Radio. I'm here with Julianne Staley and Greg Walton, John and Gaudio this morning on this Sunday morning. Welcome. What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hello. Hi.
How you doing? You're feeling better, right?
Yeah, I'm 6 weeks finished, complete.
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing pretty good. You know, there's still, I'm still like the tin man, need the oil can. Mm-hmm. Constantly.
Yeah.
How is physical therapy?
It rained and John was stuck in our Mary courtyard and he was oil. Oil.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Well, you know, knee surgery is painful. I ain't gonna lie to you. First 4 weeks were really, really awful. So but it's much more easier, but you're constantly physical therapying yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're not constantly moving, bending, stretching, that kind of thing, you just get so sore that you can't move. And then when you're on your feet all day, then you get swelling. You know, then you go home, my ankles are all swollen, my knees are all swollen. Yeah, so, but just in time. I don't have the arthritic pain, so anybody out there thinking about a knee surgery, this is not a show on knee surgery.
No.
But it is a show on empathy.
Right.
And I'm glad you guys asked me because it showed me that you were empathetic and compassionate to my suffering.
Well, that's exactly why I asked that question.
Wow, looky there.
Not really.
Yeah. Total coincidence.
That's just being nice.
Yeah. Well, that was being nice. That's part of empathy you know, it's a piece of it.
Yeah, because part of me wants to say,
I don't care.
I didn't say that, but part of me wants to.
Yeah.
So I looked up the definition of empathy. So empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
That's what the world needs, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's hard for people to have empathy because, you know, just think about it. This day and age when we're all social media out, COVID, we're all split apart.
Yeah.
People are afraid of each other. Nobody trusts one another.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get to know somebody and know they're suffering if we're so, you know, we're not interacting with one another? It's hard to do that.
Yeah. I think with social media, empathy gets territorial in a weird way.
Explain.
Okay. I think a lot of times because with social media, people are often looking for attention.
Mm.
And so I think that can be a misuse of empathy.
Mm.
When you see a tragedy and you're trying to, I think there is a genuine concern for that person, but also you recognize that you'll get attention if you post about somebody for your status or.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, with people sick and dying, but I've noticed with my generation that has become a thing where people are posting. And I'm like, wait a second. I didn't even know you knew that person, you know, in terms of friendship or connections or relatability.
Mm.
But I think it is so important for our day and age to have actual true empathy.
Yeah. Go ahead, Greg. You're going to say something?
Well, you know, so I was actually, you know, you're talking about division too, you know, even within community. And I was actually thinking Thursday at Mass, the gospel, you know, Jesus is talking about division, you know, where a father will be divided against his son and a son against his father and a mother against her daughter and a daughter against her mother and a mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. You know, and in the context of what Jesus was speaking to is the division that would happen in the community for those who had faith in him, you know, and the clash that would cause, you know, and in a lot of ways, I think we're in a similar deal now, kind of either politically and in regards to vaccines and all this kind of stuff where, you know, I'm seeing families actually some of them splitting up over this.
Empathy is lost in those situations.
Yeah. Empathy is lost in this situation.
Yeah.
So, you know, how can we look to Jesus and,
yeah,
rebuild that bridge, you know?
It's funny. A friend of mine sent me this quote. They quote it. It's third line. It says, as a Christian, are we looking for God to challenge our politics or confirm them?
Mm-hmm.
The latter is fundamentalism.
When we're looking for confirmation, the latter is fundamentalism.
Yeah. When you're looking just somebody say, hey, I agree with me, or this is, you know, that kind of thing. So how do you have, it's hard to have empathy when you're trying to, you know, when you can't step inside of somebody else's world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because of whether it's political reasons or, you know, we shut each other down. But, you know, the one thing where you do see people have an empathy is truly when there's a disaster.
Yeah.
And great suffering, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Craig Coulson, when his last week, when his son died, and I was in Chicago, and all the artists came, and, you know, out of nowhere. He was didn't expect all that, but the empathy that we had, you know, you put everything down for somebody else who's suffering, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can feel that. So something like the loss of a child, because everybody there was a parent.
Mm.
And you can feel that's the nightmare of every parent, you know, to have to face that.
To sympathize with that suffering, which is compassion.
Which is compassion. You know, you take your mother, for example, and, mm-hmm. You know, walking through that is, there's no words to describe.
No, there's not.
And all you can do is hug somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very sacramental, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Revealing invisible grace and love through action, you know.
So it's kind of neat because, you know, we talked about compassion, empathy today. And as our theme, actually, before we actually knew what the Sunday Gospel was.
Yes.
And it ties in, right?
It does. So, today's gospel, yes.
So there is a person, actually a blind man, who's dealing with a lack of empathy from those around him.
Yes.
And Jesus.
Is it Mark?
Response.
I think it's Mark. Is it not Mark?
Yeah, we're in Mark. So this is Mark 10.
So it's very short. It doesn't have a lot of description.
No.
Mark gets right to the point.
Mark 10, 46, 52. Here's the story.
All right.
You ready?
Here's the news.
Here's the news.
The gospel news, Greg Walton.
As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way.
You know, one of the things that speaks out to me is when the people said they rebuked him. Man, the blind man's trying to get healed. You know, why would the people rebuke him? Where was their compassion for the man? They're just like, shut up.
Yeah. Because, well, the idea of the community, right, was that he was blind because of his sin.
Right.
So you're just a sinner. You can't approach the teacher,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And how do we see that today in our world?
Right.
I mean, we see that in other ways. Where people are rebuked, whether you use blindness, you know, and related to other things that people don't agree with or struggle with and say you don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people crying out, "Jesus, son of David, let me in the door." And people are saying, "You're not welcome here because you don't fit into our category."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. I see it a lot with social issues.
Yeah.
If someone's speaking out about one, they get rebuked for not focusing more on another situation or current predicament.
Yeah.
Which is sad because at the end of the day, they're both issues and they're both troublesome for humanity and dignity of all. But people are trying to fight over what's more important. So they're telling other people to be quiet about theirs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I looked up some articles on empathy, you know, and what are some habits?
That's so studious of you, Greg.
I know because, you know, Yeah, so I found an article from Greater Good Magazine, which is a magazine by Berkeley, University of California, Berkeley. And it's the 6 habits of highly empathic people. And they nickname them HEPs, you know, highly empathic people. So thought maybe throughout the program we'd highlight a couple. And so here's the first one: to cultivate curiosity about strangers. And this is what we see with Jesus in this story. I thought it was kind of cool. So set yourself the challenge of having a conversation with one stranger every week. All it requires is courage.
You know, our sign when you come in the door says, St. Philip, welcome St. Philip, where there are no strangers.
Mm-hmm.
It's missing a line. Where there are no strangers, just strange people.
Oh my gosh. It's definitely St. Philip. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those strange people.
Well, I think we're all a little bit strange at times, aren't we?
But I think that's true. Like to have, and I'm also reminded of the road to Emmaus. Mm-hmm. That's not the gospel for today. But Jesus knew exactly what happened. It was him who it happened to, but he still stopped to ask them what happened. To have that curiosity with strangers. So you feel included and in part of something.
That's kind of a cool way to reflect on that story. Yeah, because the story is like the disciples after the resurrection are walking down the road and Jesus steps up, but they don't recognize him.
Yeah, they're blinded. They can't see him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jesus does a lot with strangers. The woman at the well, you know, he's mm-hmm. always out reaching out to strangers. Mm-hmm. You know, the two guys at the on the cross, them two strangers, he could have said, hey, don't bother me.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And then, so point one, cultivate curiosity about strangers. And
okay.
then second one is challenge prejudices and discover commonality. So we all have assumptions about others, and we sometimes use, you know, labels,
yep.
you know, religious labels or, you know, whatever. And they prevent us from appreciating people's individuality. So people who are highly empathic usually challenge their own preconceptions and prejudice by searching for what they share with people rather than what divides them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to find out what's common in with each other mm-hmm. and focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that very well.
No.
You know, there's a new social media thing coming out now to even divide us even more.
Ugh.
What?
Well, yeah. It's called, hang on. I got it right here.
He's looking it up on his phone.
Oh, yeah, I am looking
Come on,
it up
Grandpa.
On my phone.
Well, he's looking it up, though.
It's called Truth.
Oh, what's that?
It's called Truth Social. And it's being launched. It's a media group. It's called Truth Social Platform to combat Facebook, YouTube,
everything
Twitter.
That's censored.
And with a potential valuation of up to $1.7 billion. It's, it's a breaking thing. It's just coming out.
Mm.
You heard it here first on Living Real Radio, but just more things to separate people out.
What were you going to say? You were saying something, Jillian.
Oh, just a small example. I mean, I'm not the queen of empathy or anything. I'm quite the opposite, but I was on a bachelorette trip last weekend, and it's something that I forget just because I'm in the little St. Philip bubble quite often, but I was with a bunch of girls and they asked what I did. I was like, oh, I work for the church. And all of a sudden it was like, they tensed up. And I said that I work for the Catholic Church.
Oh yeah. Cause they're like, oh, we got to watch what we say.
Right.
Right. And what we, yeah.
And then I'm sure they didn't mean to do this, but it happens to me often that it was like, they slowly kept like poking at me, like making comments about the church or about my job or what I do. And at first I was like really bothered by
it. So like little microaggressions.
Yeah. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not going to let the devil win this one. So then I just like tried to find my commonalities with them, and they were from all walks of life. I didn't know them before this weekend, mm-hmm. but by the end of it, we had a great time because we were just focusing on our commonalities.
Yeah.
And their,
which was drinking.
No comment. No, but I mean, like in talking about like where we're from and like how we grew up, different things like that, that's where we found our commonalities.
Yeah.
And that's where the guards were let down. Like they relaxed and were so aggressive, but then I could also relax.
Right.
I think that's something that is just natural. Like I think people just do that without even thinking. Like, I don't think those girls thought to do that to me. And I'm sure like I just responded and was just like very strong in my response. Like, I'm not going to let them mess with me, but I think people do that everywhere all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like they just come in like ready to defend when it's like, okay, we can get along. We can figure out something that we share and go from there instead of finding out something that you automatically aren't going to get along with because of. And like you were talking about earlier with the vaccinations and all that stuff, like that's like the first thing that people talk about. And it's like, are you talking about it to cause division? Or are you talking about it out of concern?
Mm-hmm. Some things are going to cause division automatically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to hold your right to life. You're going to hold your ground on certain things that people are not going to agree with, and you're not going to come to a common ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reality that we have to face. And how do you have empathy inside of that? Because you're talking about two people, two instances or two agendas that will not change their mind.
So I think one of the things that where empathy, because I heard this on a show of like over when people are really divided over an issue, is to share or ask a person, you know, what's your experience with this? You know what, you know, obviously, you know, this, if, especially if you get a strong response, you know,
yeah,
it's just to say, wow, you know, I can see that this really means something to you. You know, what's your story, you know, or what is it that, you know, brings a strong emotion, you know, behind it. 'Cause then you start finding some of those common threads, you know?
Well, one thing we all have in common as Christians is Jesus. So how do you unite on Jesus? Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that one commonality that we can pick out? Because I think we all have more in common than we do that separates us, but we focus on what separates us more than what, you know, than what we have in common.
Well, especially with Christians, you know, and I would do that a lot, especially when I was on the road doing CCM things, being a Catholic.
Is this with Polar Boy?
Yeah, with Polar Boy. And then even on my own, like, you know, sometimes I'd end up, well, I was called in a couple of years to do like a Southern Baptist youth camp. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, I had to focus on some of the common, you know, some of the central themes that we all, you know, agreed with, you know, rather than, you know, worry about the Catholic understandings of things, you know, without compromising. I mean, but there was a lot of dialogue though at the same time, you know, and misunderstandings of, what we thought each other believed, you know, and we could clear the air a bit too.
Yeah. Well, why don't we play a song, Greg?
All right. So we thought we'd kick off with Hold Us Together.
Hold Us Together.
Matt Maher, since we're talking about love, we'll hold us together.
One thing we all have in common, everybody wants to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This has kind of become the new, like, put your arms around each other song, I think, at retreats. Would you say that?
Oh, I've already seen it at retreats, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but one thing for sure, can't pay the rent.
Can't pay the rent.
And it ain't got no job, but one thing, love will hold us together.
That's right. Amen.
Here's Matt Maher on Love Will Hold Us Together. We'll be right back on Hippie Radio 94.5.
It don't have a job. We can't feature the songs from this broadcast on our podcast, but you can find links to the songs in this episode's description. Thanks for listening to Living Real.
Welcome back to Living Real Radio with your hosts, John Angotti, Greg Walton, and I'm Julianne Staley. And today we're talking about empathy and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, as a youth minister, I often see that's where kids connect first in their relationship to Christ. It eventually evolves into the Eucharist, and that's the source and summit of our faith. But working at Room in the Inn, going on retreats, encountering people who are marginalized, that's where kids really can connect and empathize with others. And I think that's a big piece of our faith, is to have that empathy. Like in the gospel where the man says, have pity on me. And today, like when you think pity, like I think it has a negative connotation, but to ask for that help and to recognize like you're in need of help, I think that's becoming more and more powerful for teens to share, because it breaks down that barrier. It opens them up to others to not just empathize with people at Room in the Inn or a food pantry, but within their own group of friends and peers and in a youth group.
Yeah. Well, what the point, the thing you just said there, is it possible to have empathy and compassion unless you go to those places? Can you sit in a pew, just come to church on Sunday, put my envelope in, go home, live my own life, and truly have compassion and empathy for another person? Can you? Asking the question. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer. I just don't think you can. Because until you experience somebody else's suffering, it's only all in your head.
And then when you experience somebody else's suffering, then you recognize Christ's suffering and the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah. So this lines up right with the article I was sharing, right? So I've been sharing a point from Six Habits of Highly Empathic People.
And we got number two. We only got the two.
We had number one. Yeah. So number one, cultivate curiosity about strangers, challenge prejudices and discover commonalities is number two. Number three is try another person's life. And I think that's where being of service, as you're saying, is because you have this deep encounter, mm-hmm. you know, usually in somebody else's, on their turf, not on your own.
Yeah.
You know, like you were saying, John, it's not just like coming to church and putting it in the basket, that when we are in acts of service, then, you know, we're usually somewhere else, you know, outside our element.
Well, and I think too, back to Jesus and your second point, or is that the curiosity of strangers?
Yeah.
Like when you're serving somebody you don't know.
Curiosity is one.
I think.
Yeah.
Oh, number one. That's more powerful than like unloading the dishwasher for your mom because it's a stranger. So you don't have to have a connection to that person, but that's when you recognize your own actions of empathy or compassion for another.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why those experiences are so profound for kids.
Mm-hmm. And anybody.
Anybody, yeah.
You know, our trips to Haiti and India, and where, you know, people go out and do the work, and, you know, you visit the nursing homes, you do the homeless shelter, you, whatever it is that we don't do enough of, I don't think. Even though, we don't do enough of it for each other. People would rather write a check than get involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's easier to write a check because our lives are so busy with things for ourselves. I mean, I do it too. I'm not saying we don't do it. We all do it, I think.
Well, I don't have money, so I just stick to service.
I don't have money either. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when I see the homeless folk and you see them on the side of the street and stuff, I can't tell you how many times I get out of the car and sit there and talk to them. What's your story? How'd you get here? I want to know.
Mm.
You know, I met this guy on, I think the city shunned him away because you would see him on the corners here selling their newspapers.
Yeah.
They're gone. Have you noticed they're gone for some reason? I don't know where they went, but those homeless folks have been.
Oh, I thought it's because of construction, because I'm annoyed by it.
Yeah, those folks?
The construction?
Yeah.
Not the people.
No, not the folks, no.
No, okay. So, I just need to clarify
I'm glad you clarified.
So this guy, Mike, every day I'd see him go by, give him $2 for his papers, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, I'm going to come and sit by you. I want to hear, you know, get some stories. We'll call them stories from the street or something like that. The next week, all those homeless folk were gone. I don't know where they went. But they've been taken out of our sight.
Yeah, maybe. Or there's some restructuring going on.
No, there's no construction down here on Liberty Avenue by the CVS.
Mm-hmm. I bet they got moved out of town.
I bet they got moved out of town.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that before where people come in and take the homeless, give them a bus ticket, and, you know, instead of dealing with them and all that kind of stuff, we're going to move them to another location.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that's not necessarily having empathy for people. I don't know.
So, but you taking the initiative of talking to folks. So this is the thing, so that's number four.
Okay.
Okay. So, number four is listen hard and open up. So you have to really listen to what somebody's saying, you know, and active listening, and then also being vulnerable yourself and sharing about you is a trait of empathy. And you
I
do
think that's
that.
Tough.
Yeah.
It's really difficult to do.
Yeah.
Cause you don't want to take away from somebody else's tragedy by sharing. I've witnessed that.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking to a friend this morning, I was talking about, a family situation going on, and I explained it, and my friend's like, "Oh yeah, that happened to me too." And I was like, "Well, crap, that's not why I told you." You know, like I was looking for a connection there, and you know, he kind of dismissed it. I was like, "Oh yeah, I've been through that."
You know, I saw this where, you know, somebody's pointing it out, like, when somebody's grieving, you know, it's like sometimes we want to share, "Oh yeah, I had a loss of somebody," but at the same time, you don't want to undermine
Right. Yeah.
somebody's grief by talking about, your own, you know, like, mm-hmm. So there is a balance there, isn't there?
Yeah. You know? 'Cause you know, you don't want to, when someone loses their son, like your buddy, you don't want to go up and say, "Oh, I understand what you're going through. I lost my dog."
Like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. They just don't match up.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. So that, just to really listen.
Yeah. Like you were talking about earlier, just listening and just being there for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have a little poem here. You want to go do the poem?
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Right before we get to the last couple of things in your questionnaire. This is by one of our former parishioners, Catherine Harlow, who now I'm assuming is in college because we had a talent show here, and she read this poem as part of the talent show. And I've always kept this because I thought it had such great meaning. So this is Empathy by Catherine Harlow. People aren't always as they seem. They have feelings. And feelings can be quite hard to read. Yes, they smile. Yes, they sing. But what matters is underneath. Your friend might not be as they seem, sitting right next to you, their face not having much glee as you used to see. But we ignore it. Yes, we ignore it. We, as in the human being, that being in us that only sees what it wants to see. It's a filtering, protecting us from the idea that things aren't always as they seem, not meant to be, not always as happy as you think. So how can someone see the emotion of a friend who built a fortress around their sad feelings and smiled? Oh, they smiled to the world so that no one can guess their misery. But this inconveniently dreadful fear clouds their face so that they cannot breathe. They hope that someone sees, not consciously, but they want to feel the peace that only people seem to grieve. The empathy, don't want your sympathy. Oh, empathy, not your bravery. Yes, only empathy, not fake condolences, just to cease the never-ending pain that brings despair that will not bring release to the sufferings. But empathy is a song someone will sing to the one who cannot speak. A hug to the one in need. A smile to the one who's trying to live through the tears and crying. Oh, empathy is a powerful tool, you see. It only takes one person to clear the air and bring peace. I have empathy. I'm also the one in need. Mm. Thought that was pretty good for a 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Very wise.
You know, that I think you can hear her own pain in that, you know, looking for...
Definitely.
Looking for acceptance and you know, kids that hide behind whatever, you know, they wear a specific way because they, you know, wear the dark clothing or whatever to separate themselves. But is it a cry out for... look at me, love me, when you're really trying to separate yourself, but are you really separate? I don't know. I don't know the psychology behind it.
I think that's what, you know, when we talk about vulnerability, you know, we're talking about the masks that we wear.
Yeah.
You know, what's the facade we put on, you know, and the challenge is to take those off and to be raw and to be real, you know? Yeah. And I think I caught that from.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very profound. Mm-hmm. Many things in there.
Well, I got a song for this.
What you got?
I got Everybody Hurts. R.E.M.
R.E.M.
Mm-hmm. So here it is on Living Real, Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5, made possible by Closets by Design. Welcome back to Living Real Radio. Greg Walton here with my co-host Julian Staley, John Ngadi. And we were just listening to R.E.M.'s song, Everybody Hurts, because we're talking about empathy
And compassion.
And compassion. Well, and they go hand in hand.
They do go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Can you have one without the other?
No. I don't think you can.
And then what's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can in situations. I don't think a human being can, if that makes sense. I feel like in the South, they're notorious for being like, bless her heart. You know, like you have...
Yeah.
Empathy. Like, you want to feel bad for him, but
that's a false empathy, though.
Yeah.
And it's also usually meant to be a dick.
But I do think there's like a...
Used to be a what?
Meant to be a dick, you know? Yeah.
Sometimes. I think also people say it genuinely, but don't realize how it came across.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes people get lazy and that you want to feel bad for someone, but you don't want to be in the trenches suffering with them necessarily. And it doesn't mean you're less of a person.
But are you having effort. Compassion?
Yeah, I think.
Without, I mean, what is the difference between empathy and compassion?
Right. Well, I'm looking up. Let me get
Google.
The definition. Because I gave the definition of.
I think compassion is being sympathetic with suffering. Like you're with them in it.
Could be. And empathy is.
Feeling bad for someone. I don't know.
Compassion is sympathetic pity or concern for the sufferings or misfortune of others.
That's compassion.
That's compassion. And then empathy is defined as the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. So they're very, those are two very similar things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That definitely walk hand in hand with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we've been looking with empathy. We've been in compassion. We've been looking at, an article, Greater Good Magazine, Berkeley, University of California, the 6 habits of highly empathic people, right? So far we've had cultivating curiosity for strangers, challenging prejudices and discovering our commonalities, like when we're divided, what do we hold in common? Try another person's life. And Julianne, you pointed out about service, being like another way for us to step into other people's shoes because we get off our turf and step into somebody else's. Mm-hmm. And then listening hard to people. And John, you were talking about, you know, like you like to hear the stories of homeless people, you know, and, mm-hmm. And then vulnerability, being a part of that as well on our part. So 5 is to inspire mass, another trait of empathic people. And this ties into compassion is to inspire mass action and social change. Because when you have compassion for somebody in their situation, I think you naturally would want to make it better.
Yes. I was wondering, is there like a action piece that differentiates empathy from compassion?
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't mean to say empathetic people are lazy, but I think compassion requires a mode of operation to try and help someone.
Right.
Whereas you can be empathetic towards the people in Waverly. Like, I feel so bad and I've prayed for them, but I think those who are compassionate about this have gone down there to actually go help.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I think it's hard when you understand a problem, mm-hmm. to not want to be a part of a solution.
Yeah.
Right. And, I don't know.
Well, when you, step into somebody else's life, it takes time. It takes effort. It changes your whole life. I mean, you know, you jump in to help somebody, you don't know what you're getting into. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden in this world that we live in where there is no trust.
Mm-hmm.
So first I got to trust that you're telling me the truth, you know, and, you know, how bad is it? You know, I people need to have all this information maybe before they jump in completely with 2 feet. And is that the kind of world we live in since... No, you know, people look at the homeless guy. Ah, he's going to go buy booze.
Right. Like in Liar Liar, Jim Carrey.
Oh,
yeah. Didn't he do that? You know, the guy was asking for some change and he says, no, because I'm afraid you're going to buy more booze.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Because he had to tell
the truth.
Right. Yeah. But I see that, you know, you can see that everywhere. I mean, I do that sometimes myself, I think, when you see people out that need help. It's like, do they really need help? You know? And then because you have to engage,
mm-hmm.
you know, for example, you see somebody just in the store and they got a big bag of stuff and you're like, should I help them? Should I not help them? You know, I don't know. Do they need my help? I don't trust that. Maybe they don't need my help. You know, maybe they'll get along. Okay. You know, so it takes an effort because like that poem was saying, people hide behind their smiles. So sometimes to ask for help is hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, how do we, ask people, do you need help without that? Because most people say, no, I got it. I'm good.
Right. And nobody wants to say, have pity on me.
Yeah, nobody wants to be the blind.
Yeah, and actually, that. So well, there's that would vulnerability be great, there, right? Listen,
that'd be a great take on a Sunday homily, the reversal, you know. How often do we have to ask for pity and won't do it? But the blind man had enough courage and trust and faith that Jesus was the one that he's like, I'm getting help.
It's hard for me to ask for help, especially when I think about context of work. Like, you know what I mean?
I never ask for help.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, when I was sick and they brought me food and Leslie Speck called me and, you know, she goes, we want to bring food. I was like, no, it's okay. I know y'all got so many other people that you can deal with. You don't need to bring me food. You know, it was that kind of thing. I felt guilty for taking.
Uh-huh.
Because we're afraid it's going to look like we don't have it together, maybe.
Or, yeah, that's a piece of it. But, you know, sometimes you feel that other people are so much worse off.
Right. That's how I feel.
No, there's that too.
You know, you help them. I'll be all right.
Yeah, I'll figure
it out. I can get
through
that.
Yeah.
But people want to they want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to say, okay, come on, bring the food.
How was it for you? Yeah. I mean, you had a lot of people bringing you food when you were.
I did. It was really amazing. The different types of food, and you got to meet people because they came to the house. You know, they came in and sat and talked with you, and you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was.
I mean, they listened,
or
and they shared
one or the other. Yeah. I mean, we had we had curiosity with the stranger, Greg.
And curiosity with the stranger.
That's right. Is there a song that goes with that? Since we have so many today.
Gosh. Okay. So how about Lean on Me, Bill Withers?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's a good one because you're just talking about how we have to lean on one another. We don't always want to, but lean on me.
When you're not strong.
Come on, Julian.
Come on, Julian.
And I'll be
your friend.
Look at that, Julian.
I have to carry on. Oh, Barbara's back. Hey.
Barbara's back. All right. So here's Lean on Me. Bill Withers, who, by the way, is a very wise man. I mean, he rest in peace. He passed away. But there's a great documentary called Still Bill, which he talks a lot about empathy and compassion and togetherness. And all of that. But anyway, Lean on Me, Living Real, Nashville's Hippie Radio 94.5.
All right. Welcome back to Living Real Radio with Julianne Staley, Greg Walton. I'm John Angotti. And today's topic is empathy and compassion and how we all need that in the world to make the world a better place.
That's right.
And we just heard the song
Lean on me.
You just call on me, brother. What about the sisters?
We don't need to call on anyone.
Oh, because we have Jesus calls who's already the present?
Yep.
Or was there was another joke in it?
We won't ask for help.
That's right, because we won't ask for help, yeah. Don't call on me. Yeah. But anyway, so as Greg was giving us the six pointers of...
Yeah.
Did we finish out six?
No, we had number five last time. So I'll just.
Well, we got.
Yeah. So empathy. So
number six.
So we've talked about empathy and compassion, you know, and which is both of them relate to the ability to understand, share the feelings of others and especially relate to people who are going through difficult times. That's mm-hmm. compassion, kind of the difference there between the two. And I looked at an article on the six habits of highly empathic people. So cultivating curiosity about strangers, challenging prejudices and discover commonalities. What do we hold in common with those we disagree with? Try another person's life, you know, and listen hard, open up. That's four. Five is inspire mass action and social change. That empathic people, because they understand or empathize, they're usually motivated to action. And then the last one is develop an ambitious imagination. So what this means is that we need to empathize with people whose beliefs we don't share or who may be enemies in some ways. This kind of ties into Jesus, love your enemy. You know, so that if you are, for example, let's say you want to combat global warming, you know, it may be worth to try to step into the shoes of an oil company executive, you know, because if you can understand their side of the street, then you could probably come up with an effective strategy to move towards change rather than just complaining about the other person all the time, you know, and pointing fingers at them.
Oh, but it's so much easier to do that.
Oh, I like doing that. It's yeah, fun. It's so fun.
Point fingers at somebody. Yeah. Well, that's a big thing, big task to jump into, like, you know, using that as the example. What would be an example of localized?
That's great. Can you think of one? Because I'm, you know.
I think that when you are battling with your neighbor, like, for example, a week ago or so, we had a parishioner who came home, got in a battle with one of his other neighbors, and he pulled out a gun and shot him in the head while his 14-year-old son standing there.
That happened to our parishioner. He
our
was
parishioner.
The one who did that. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the one who died.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So where was the empathy of in the conversation?
Mm. Right.
You know, if there was empathy and compassion on either side. So that's a real deal in a real situation that happens on a daily basis, you know, that people can... In our arguments,
just to pull out a gun. Like,
well, I mean, in every anybody that's listening, in our arguments with whoever, you know, Father Bolster told me I sat there and cried instantly. I was like, "What? That this kind of stuff happens on a regular basis." You know, maybe not necessarily here in Franklin, but
well, you know, it's an issue in Chicago. That's actually what the gun violence is. It's not necessarily gang related. It's just people are so tense that, yeah.
I was watching the news, which I never do. I think it's at the dentist office. And it came up that more kids have died in Chicago from guns than in the whole United States from COVID in the last year.
Wow.
In a year.
That's a million.
Just in Chicago.
Can't be.
No, kids.
Oh, kids from COVID. Yeah. Oh, I got you.
Under the age of 18.
I got you. Yeah.
Then kids who have died of COVID. Mm-hmm. So we're talking, okay, so just children.
Not yeah. COVID in general.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Wow.
Hand me that phone. Timekeeper.
But like to think that violence is that bad.
Yeah.
I feel like we're making such a huge deal about COVID and how it can affect people. Like what if we thought more about empathy and being caring towards others and watching out for these people who would just completely lack it altogether.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking as three Christians here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Living inside some type of bubble really that we're living in.
Mm-hmm.
How do people that are so impoverished and living in such hell develop empathy? I mean, you know, how do we go down to those places and meet those people, you know, on a face-to-face basis? I don't know. Because that's scary. And I don't want to go there because, you know, you might get shot. But is that where...
I think you're taught to not have empathy.
You think?
Because if we're made in God's image and likeness... Goodness is something we're drawn towards. So I think it's either when it's denied to you or taught to not have.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge, huge piece for these kids in poverty. Like, because my little brother teaches in Indianapolis in an inner city school, and it is a mess. But he said it's a learned behavior. And he said they just cry all day long because they're not allowed to cry at home. You know, like they're still craving that. They still need, they still have feelings and emotions, but nobody's allowing them to have it at home.
Mm. Wow.
So it's just really sad.
Wow. I guess when you look deep into community life of others, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, that it's a learned behavior to not have empathy, to not care that you're going to steal or rob or do whatever, or, take advantage of the system so that you can survive yourself. I mean, is it taught that way for survival? It has to be.
Yeah.
Has to be. Because if I have empathy for you, that's going to take away my life, or you know what I mean?
And at the same time, empathy can bring hope, because I feel like those actions are usually driven by a lack of hope.
Yeah.
You know, there's...
I would think that's only in a few people. I would... It just seems innate. There's a part of us that's born with this longingness to connect with another.
Yeah. Mm.
You know? And that you're talking about that to not have empathy is taught, but to have empathy seems like a natural response, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, that's when three or four of the kids are crying. Matthew says like two or three will just start crying just because they're crying. Like there's... They can't explain it or articulate it, but it's there.
Yeah. And that's interesting.
Yeah.
So make the world better.
I've just been reading. So actually, this is kind of cool. So one of the threads I've been looking at is on compassion, you know, when it comes to spirituality, and that contemplation can create compassion. It's particularly contemplating God's love and compassion for us, you know, will generate then more compassion in ourselves for others. Mm-hmm. So an exercise that I've been kind of doing lately to, in my meditation is to just be in silence and breathe in love, you know, agape, and then to imagine myself loving God back, you know, as I breathe out, and just to rest in that, in and of itself it's said to help generate, you know, more sympathy, more empathy, more compassion towards others. We can actually put a little bit of love in our hearts.
Yes. Wow. Sounds like we're moving towards the end of the show here. Mm-hmm. Actually, we are moving towards the end of the show here. Yeah. You know, when my kids were little, before they go to bed, I always told them, I said, give me your five God moments. And I was just thinking about that, you know, maybe that's a way that we can all begin to develop empathy by reflecting on our life to every night. Where did you see God in action through the help of other people? You know,
this is called the examine. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an easy thing for parents to do with their kids. Mm-hmm. Where'd you see God today? Maybe we need to be taught to look at those things more and more, because it's easy to forget. Mm-hmm. Because we get so busy in our own worlds with our own blinders, and we're blind, and we say, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. What do you want? I want to see.
Amen.
Man, oh man.
All right. That's a great note to go out on, John. And well, here's a note with a song.
All right.
So we're going to wrap up with Put a Little Love.
Hey, before you wrap up, let's just real quick say next week.
Oh, so big events, though.
Yes, Mercy.
Epic events coming up.
Day-long youth experience. And it is going to be here at St. Philip from 9 to 6 p.m. Saturday, October 30th.
Yes. Open to all 6th through 8th graders. We'll have Chick-fil-A for lunch. That's a fan favorite. And I think we'll have a magician. We have Peter
a lot
Peterson.
Of magicians. Did you say a lot of magicians?
A magician.
A magician.
Two musicians.
Two musicians and a partridge in a pear tree.
Let me get you all the details here. I'm going to look it up.
We have PJ Anderson.
Yep.
Joe Melendrez. So it'll be a bumping day here at St. Philip.
Yeah.
Yep. And so come and join us.
It's open to anybody, right? So anybody who's listening.
Oh, yeah. Anybody can sign up. We do have limited seating. I think we're at about 200. Our capacity is 250. So we got about, you know, 50-ish.
So come on down to St. Philip. Yep. You heard it here on Living Real. Yeah. You get a discount if you say you heard it on Living Real.
Yep.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do.
Greg will pay for you.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
All right. So here's Put a Little Love in Your Heart, Jackie DeShannon. This is a 1969 deal, so we're following in the footsteps of hippie radio here.
Hey, that's right. So go out and smile at somebody. Thank you all for being here. Go have empathy and compassion for another. Make the world a better place.
For you.
And me.
Yay.
Put a little love in your heart.
Listening to Living Real Radio, real issues in real time, with your host, John Angotti, Greg Walton, and Julianne Staley. Be sure to tune in every week at 8 a.m. to Living Real Radio. Living Real Radio is sponsored by Closets by Design. Imagine your home totally organized by Closets by Design. Call them today to schedule your appointment at 615-261-8700. That's 615-261-8700.